Ladies and gentlemen, you're about to take a trip. Oh, not as a group, individually. Is your imagination working? Okay.
Just scored. Ace Parker did it. Jock Sutherland's boys lead the Giants 7-0. Here's the whistle. Merle Condon comes up. He boots it. It's a long one down to around the 3-yard line. Ward Cuff takes it. He's cutting up to his left. He's over the 10. Nice block there by Lehman. Cuff still going. He's up to the 25. And now he's hit and hit hard about the 27-yard line. Bruiser Kennard made the tackle.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you this important bulletin from the United Press. Flash, Washington. The White House announces Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor. Stay tuned to WOR for further developments, which will be broadcast immediately as received. Flash, Washington. The White House announces Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor.
The Japanese have attacked the Pearl Harbor, Hawaii, from the air. I'll repeat that. President Roosevelt says that the Japanese have attacked Pearl Harbor in Hawaii from the air.
This is Bert Salmon speaking from Manila, and this time I've got a real scoop for you. Manila has just been bombed. In fact, right now it is being bombed. And without warning, Japanese bombers started bombing Fort William McKinley, Nichols Airfield, and the RCA transmitting station. At 3:09, without warning.
They're not near yet. We are waiting for God only knows what. How about a chocolate soda? Not many. Not near yet. Lots of heavy fighting going on. We've only got about 1 hour, 20 minutes before we may have to give up by noon. We don't know yet. They are throwing men and shells at us, and we may not be able to stand it. They have been shelling us faster than you can count. We've got about 55 minutes, and I feel sick at my stomach. I am really low down. They are around now, smashing rifles. They bring in the wounded every minute. It is a horrible sight. We will be waiting for you guys to help. This is the only thing, I guess, that can be done. General Wainwright is the right guy, and we are willing to go on for him. But shells were dropping all night, faster than hell. Damage, terrific. Too much for guys to take. Enemy heavy cross-shelling and bombing. They have got us all around and from skies. From here, it looks like firing ceased on both sides. Men here all feeling bad because of terrific nervous strain of the siege. Corregidor used to be a nice place. It's haunted now. Withstood a terrific pounding. Just made broadcast to Manila to arrange meeting for surrender. Talk made by General Beebe. I can't say much. Can't think at all. I can hardly think. Say, I have 60 pesos you can have for this weekend. The white flag is up. Everyone is bawling like a baby. They're piling dead, wounded soldiers in our tunnel. I'm vomiting. Arms weak from pounding key long hours. No rest. Short rations. Tired. I know now how a mouse feels. Caught in a trap. Waiting for guys to come along. Finish it up. Got a treat. Canned pineapple. Opening it with Signal Corps knife. My name, Irving Strobing. Get this to my mother. Mrs. Minnie Strobing. 605 Barbie Street, Brooklyn, New York. They are to get along okay. Get in touch with them soon as possible. Message. My love to Pa, Joe, Sue, Matt, Carrie, Joy, and Paul. Also to all family and friends. God bless them all. Hope they be there when I come home. Tell Joe, wherever he is, give him hell for us. My love, you all. God bless you and keep you. Love. Sign my name. And tell my mother how you heard from me. Stand by.
The transmission was terminated when I was told that a Japanese tank was approaching the mouth of the tunnel. I thought it would be better for me to get further back in. We remained in the tunnel until the Japanese entered and took charge. We were then lined up in Malinta Tunnel itself, and in a kneeling position were tapped on the shoulder by a Japanese officer using a saber, and thus formally became prisoners of the Emperor.
Did you ever realize, Mr. Strobing, that your radio message from Corregidor was broadcast all across the country?
I really didn't. I knew that certain portions of it had definitely been received, but had no idea of just what dissemination was being made.
What were the conditions, and how did you manage to survive such an ordeal?
Term of imprisonment lasted 1,216 days. The first portion being spent in the Philippines in a camp at Cabana Tuan, until November of 1942, when I was removed to Japan itself. A 27-day voyage in the bottom hold of a Japanese freighter. Upon our arrival in Japan on the 27th of November in 42, I was put to work on a construction project, excavating by hand what was to be a dry dock and later pouring the concrete. After about a year and a half, I was transferred to another camp where we made little rocks out of big ones and also stoked the furnaces in a Japanese steel mill. And that lasted until September 5th, 1945, when we were liberated and returned to the United States.
Mr. Strobing, if I remember correctly, while you were still on Corregidor, you tried very hard to get a message through to your mother. Tell us about that, will you?
Well, the final transmission from Corregidor was a message to my mother and the other members of my family. It was received in Honolulu and relayed to Washington, and the Army was good enough to have a colonel deliver it at home.
Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling up the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He has loosed the faithful lightning of his terrible swift sword.
His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. I have seen him in the watchfires of a hundred circling camps. They have builded him an altar in the evening news and dance. I can read his righteous sentence by the dim and flaring lamps. His day is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on.
Japan's declaration of war on the United States, Hawaii has been under two air attacks today. More than 10 persons were wounded when enemy planes machine-gunned a town near Honolulu, according to a Reuters dispatch. And General Douglas MacArthur has ordered all women and children in Manila to evacuate the seacoast and move to areas inland. The Dutch East Indies has just declared war on Japan, and Costa Rica in South America has also declared war. Keep tuned to this station for further developments.
Here is what has happened. President Roosevelt phoned Secretary Early half an hour ago that the Japanese had attacked Pearl Harbor, the United States naval base on Oahu Island in the Hawaiian Islands. This means that war is underway between Japan and the United States.
In this nation's capital, the Japanese attack on Hawaii and the Philippine Islands, and the torpedo assault on two American cargo ships in the Pacific, have come with an electrifying shock. There are crowds right now gathered in front of the White House and the State Department and the Japanese Embassy. They are sober, quiet crowds. There is more excitement among a crowd of 150 newspaper men jammed within the lobby of the White House Executive Office. For a comparatively few feet away, the president is dictating the first draft of a message to Congress. That much is announced at the White House. And this means that a joint session of Congress will be held probably as early as tomorrow, at which the president will announce the Japanese attack upon the United States and ask for a declaration of war.
Bulletin, which has just come into the NBC newsroom in New York. Nomura, the Japanese ambassador, and Kurusu, the special Japanese envoy, were at the State Department at the time of the White House's announcement of the attacks on Hawaii. The two Japanese went to see Secretary of State Hull at 1:35 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and remained about 20 minutes. And now we take you to Washington.
Immediately that the president heard the news flashed to him, he gave believe the order is already prepared. If you put it for the defense of the nation. He told us it was obviously part of a prepared statement of which you will hear more, for he is going to address Congress. He will give them a message. It may be a message asking for the declaration of war. And he said that this happened, this attack on Manila and Honolulu, happened without warning when both nations were at peace. And within a short time, within an hour of the time the Japanese ambassador Nomura and the special emissary Kurusu had gone to the State Department and handed the document to the Secretary of State, with the Japanese reply to the Secretary's note of the 26th. And when the Secretary of State looked into that note, his face flushed with anger. And he said that he had never spoken an untruth to the Japanese, but when he read that document, he had never seen a document so full of untruth, such infamous falsehood, he said, that he could not imagine that they would be spoken by any government or any nation. This reply came when the Japanese must have known what was happening. It is almost inconceivable, the surprise with which this attack has come. The men that are filling this room now, whose voices you probably hear behind me, have been called from every quarter of the city. They're the leading correspondents. And it came like a flash out of the blue. As I came down in a taxi cab, there was a broadcast which was being interrupted with this bulletin. The driver hardly believed what he said. I passed soldiers on the street. One of them said, "Yes, I know," laughed and went on. What I'm trying to explain is that we have hardly grasped the importance of the situation. We've hardly grasped what is actually coming. Tonight we're going to hear a good deal more. The Osmond has called in his cabinet for 8:30. At 9 o'clock, they're going to be joined by the leaders, the congressional leaders, the Speaker, Sam Rayburn, McCormick, Joe Martin on the Republican side, Bloom, Hill, Len McNary, and the others who have, he has recently called in when he has been discussing international matters. And it was stressed by Secretary Early that this meeting is more of a consideration of our international relations than actual military affairs, because the heads of the military committees were not called in. The President is assembling all the facts that he can, and as quickly as possible, he is going to transmit them in a message, a message containing full information of the situation to Congress. And undoubtedly, that will be the consideration of whether or not a formal war will be declared. Already Senator George has said that while this happens, partly in expectation, nevertheless it was a surprise, and it means only one thing. He says it means an open declaration of war. And he added that it will put the United States on a war basis which may last for 2 or 3 years. Only yesterday, I sat with Emissary Kurusu in the Japanese embassy. He smiled pleasantly and explained that there was still hope. That the only trouble was that we mustn't discuss principles, we must discuss the actual happening. He said that after a nation was at war for 4 years, that they must be treated with a certain sympathy and tact. That there would be no difficulty in arranging the situation between Japan and the United States if we laid aside for the moment the discussion of general principles which could be agreed upon later and discussed the realistic question. Earlier, the Japanese viewpoint expressed to me was this. The Japanese people are 90% against war, the Japanese spokesman said to me. What he said, the Japanese people, the majority of them, all of them, are willing to fight over the Chinese question. And then he went on to explain that China was a peculiar situation and must be so regarded. Nevertheless, the intention, the effect of these conversations have been such as to lead us to believe that, at least for the present, Japan was not too take any overt step, nor was she to give an answer which would be impossible for the United States to accept. It was a status quo. Nevertheless, there was a feeling here that Japan was merely putting off the evil days. And therefore, while the thing came as a shock, as all wars do, nevertheless, there was a feeling that at least it would be a period, perhaps 30 to 90 days, where we realized just exactly the direction that the trends were taking. I recall very well that I was sitting in the Reichsgrund Funkhaus in Berlin, and I carried the news that Hitler had launched his legions into Poland. And I must say that exactly the same feeling existed there among the Pashas at least. It came as a distinct shock. It came as a terrific blow to the people as a whole. And just as there I looked out the window and saw the people going up and down the street who had not had the news so today when I hurried over to this newsroom with the rest of these men that are now crowding it, I had the same feeling because I knew the faces that I looked into, the tourists, the Sunday persons going for their walks, had no idea whatever that actually happened or what it means. What it is to mean, we can only know as developments are revealed. And the dispatches at present are all being released here through the White House. They're coming into the White House from the War and the Navy Department, carried immediately to the President's office, and whenever possible, Secretary Steve Early brings them down and reads them to us in this crowded room, or one of the secretaries comes out, or we're called into his office. They are attempting to keep us in touch with every development as it takes place, and we will try to do the same for you as soon as it comes. That's all for the moment, and thanks very much.
Back in New York City, here's the bulletin. Honolulu, Japanese bombs killed at least 5 persons and injured many others, 3 seriously, in a surprise morning aerial attack today on Honolulu. The sky was filled with puffs of smoke from exploding shells fired by American Army and Navy anti-aircraft units. Whether surface vessels of the United States fleet were in action against the enemy could not be learned at once, but columns of water rising from the sea as shells hit the water indicated a naval action. Viewed from the hills, back of Honolulu, where many city folk went to view the fight, columns of heavy black smoke went skyward from Pearl Harbor. And Washington. Senate leaders were preparing today for an emergency session tomorrow in anticipation of a message from President Roosevelt asking for a declaration of war against Japan. Berlin. A German spokesman declared tonight there could be no reaction from Germany to the announced Japanese air attack on Pearl Harbor until all sides of the case were at hand. And San Francisco. The Army and Navy went on a war basis on the Pacific seaboard today. All leaves were canceled, all furloughs revoked, and every man was ordered to report to his station. The commandant of the 3 naval districts on the West Coast appealed by every medium for every officer and man to report to his post. The commander of Harbor Defenses ordered, all coast artillery officers and soldiers of the Harbor Defenses are ordered to report to their stations immediately. All leaves and furloughs are canceled by order of the commanding general. Again, Washington. The Federal Bureau of Investigation announced today that it is completely mobilized and ready to deal with Japanese espionage and sabotage. Ottawa. Prime Minister Mackenzie King left his Kingsmere home today for Ottawa immediately after he was informed of the Japanese attack. In just a few minutes, we'll hear from NBC's Near Eastern experts, and one of whom is Ashton Close. Another bulletin, the Secretary of War has just announced that all military personnel on active duty is to appear Monday in uniform. For the latest news on the Pacific situation, please keep tuned to this station.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.
Back in New York City, here's the bulletin. Honolulu. Japanese bombs killed at least 5 persons and injured many others, 3 seriously, in a surprise morning aerial attack today on Honolulu. The sky was filled with puffs of smoke from exploding shells fired by American Army and Navy anti-aircraft units. Whether surface vessels of the United States fleet were in action against the enemy could not be learned at once, but columns of water rising from the sea as shells hit the water indicated a naval action. Viewed from the hills, back of Honolulu, where many city folk went to view the fight, columns of heavy black smoke went skyward from Pearl Harbor. And Washington. Senate leaders were preparing today for an emergency session tomorrow in anticipation of a message from President Roosevelt asking for a declaration of war against Japan. Berlin. A German spokesman declared tonight there could be no reaction from Germany to the announced Japanese air attack on Pearl Harbor until all sides of the case were at hand. And San Francisco. The Army and Navy went on a war basis on the Pacific seaboard today. All leaves were canceled, all furloughs revoked, and every man was ordered to report to his station. The commandant of the 3 naval districts on the West Coast appealed by every medium for every officer and man to report to his post. The commander of Harbor Defenses ordered, all coast artillery officers and soldiers of the Harbor Defenses are ordered to report to their stations immediately. All leaves and furloughs are canceled by order of the commanding general. Again, Washington. The Federal Bureau of Investigation announced today that it is completely mobilized and ready to deal with Japanese espionage and sabotage. Ottawa. Prime Minister Mackenzie King left his Kingsmere home today for all of us immediately after he was informed of the Japanese attack. In just a few minutes, we'll hear from NBC Eastern experts, and one of whom is Ashton Close. Another bulletin, the Secretary of War has just announced that all military personnel on active duty is to appear Monday in uniform. For the latest news on the Pacific situation, please keep tuned to this station.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.
Supreme Command of the nation's defense forces are now in conference at the White House. Secretary of War Stimson, Secretary of Navy Knox, and General George C. Marshall, Army Chief of Staff, were with President Roosevelt. Admiral Harold R. Stark, the Chief of Naval Operations, remained at his desk in the Navy Department. Bulletin from Honolulu. Parachute troops were sighted off Harbor Point today. And now for Navy men in the New York area. Here's a notice that all Navy personnel in 3rd Naval District are requested to report to their ship or station as soon as possible. And now for the benefit of our listeners who may have missed our first direct contact report from Hawaii a few minutes ago, here is the text of this broadcast over NBC. We have witnessed this morning the attack of Pearl Harbor and the severe bombing of Pearl Harbor by Army planes, undoubtedly Japanese. The city of Honolulu has also been attacked and considerable damage done. This battle has been going on for nearly 3 hours. One of the bombers dropped within 50 feet of Tanti Tower. It's no joke. It's a real war. The public of Honolulu has been advised to keep in their homes and away from the Army and Navy. There has been severe fighting going on in the air and on the sea. Then there was an interruption followed by this. We have no statement as to how much damage has been done, but it has been a very severe attack. The Army and Navy, it appears, now has the air and sea under control. Keep tuned to the station for further details.
We will interrupt all programs to give you latest news bulletin. Stay tuned to this station.
J-E-L-L-O.
The Jell-O program brought to you by Jell-O and Jell-O Pudding.
I am for you all for much again. You are my favorite star, my heaven in heaven above. You are everything I love. The breathless hush of evening that trembles on the brink of a lovely song. You are the angel glow that lights afar, the dearest things I know.
Ladies and gentlemen, a special announcement. The entire regular personnel of the sheriff's and police office has been placed on a two-platoon basis with 12-hour shift. All auxiliary personnel has been directed to stand by for emergency service instructions. The regular county defense program is functioning in an orderly manner, and citizens are urged to remain calm and avoid all unnecessary confusion because of hysteria. Citizen volunteers are asked to go quietly to their nearest police or fire stations and offer their services if they wish to help. There is no immediate cause for alarm, and coolness will accomplish more than anything else.
Of Everything I Love and All the Things You Are, sung by Dennis Day.
Senators and representatives, I have the distinguished honor of presenting the President of the United States.
President, Mr. Speaker, members of the Senate, of the House of Representatives, yesterday, December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy, the United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked by naval and air forces of the Empire of Japan. The United States was at peace with that nation, and at the solicitation of Japan, was still in conversation with its government and its emperor, looking toward the maintenance of peace in the Pacific. Indeed, 1 hour after Japanese air squadrons had commenced bombing in the American island of Oahu, the Japanese ambassador to the United States and his colleague delivered to our Secretary of State a formal reply to a recent American message. And while this reply stated that it seemed useless to continue the existing diplomatic negotiations, it contained no threat or hint of war or of armed attack. It will be recorded that the distance of Hawaii from Japan makes it obvious that the attack was deliberately planned many days or even weeks ago. During the intervening time, the Japanese government has deliberately sought to deceive the United States by false statements and expressions of hope for continued peace. The attack yesterday on the Hawaiian Islands has caused severe damage to American naval and military forces. I regret to tell you that very many American lives have been lost. In addition, American ships have been reported torpedoed on the high seas between San Francisco and Honolulu. Yesterday, the Japanese government also launched an attack against Malaya. Last night, Japanese forces attacked Hong Kong. Last night, Japanese forces attacked Guam. Last night, Japanese forces attacked the Philippine Islands. Last night, the Japanese attacked Wake Island. And this morning, the Japanese attacked Midway Island. Japan has therefore undertaken a surprise offensive extending throughout the Pacific area. The facts of yesterday and today speak for themselves. The people of the United States have already formed their opinions and well understand the implications to the very life and safety of our nation. As Commander-in-Chief of the Army and Navy, I have directed that all measures be taken for our defense, but always will our whole nation remember the character of the onslaught against us. No matter how long it may take us to overcome this premeditated invasion, the American people in their righteous might will win through to absolute victory. I believe that I interpret the will of the Congress and of the people when I assert that we will not only defend ourselves to the uttermost, but will make it very certain that this form of treachery shall never again endanger us. Hostilities exist. There is no blinking at the fact that our people, our territory, and our interests are in grave danger. With confidence in our armed forces, with the unbounding determination of our people, we will gain the inevitable triumph. So help us God. I ask that the Congress declare that since the unprovoked and dastardly attack by Japan on Sunday, December 7th, 1941, a state of war has existed between the United States and the Japanese Empire.
History, in every century, records an act that lives forevermore. We'll recall, as into line we fall, the thing that happened on Hawaii shore. Let's remember Pearl Harbor as we go to meet the foe. Let's remember Pearl Harbor as we did the Alamo. We will always remember how they died for liberty. Let's remember Pearl Harbor and go on to victory.
Thank you.
Yankee, Yankee, cranky, you're a sap, Mr. Jap. Uncle Sam has gone to Spanky. Wait and see before we're done. The A, B, C, and D will sink your rising sun. You're a sap, Mr. Jap. You don't know Uncle Sammy when he fights for his rights. You take it on the lab before he wipes the axes right off the map. You're a sap, 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 Mr. Jap. You're a sap, Mr. Jap. Uncle Sam has grown to Spanky. Wait and see before we're done. The A, B, C, and D will sing your rising sum. You're a sap, Mr. Jap. Oh, what a load to carry. Don't you know, don't you know, you're committing Harry Carey. For we'll wipe the axis right off the map. You're a sap, sap, sap.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Bob. Don't ask me where I am because I don't know, and even if I did know, I couldn't tell because it's a military secret, Hope. Well, I want to tell you, it's a thrill to be here, and I've got very little to report from home outside of their drafting all the leading men in Hollywood. That is, the young leading men. Crosby's still there. You know, if it keeps up, most of the leading men next season will be on the adrenaline side.
In my great big B-19 for my Uncle Sam. Yes, I am. I'm going to fight for you. And red and white and blue, you can count on me. Yes, 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 sirree. I'll fly in any direction for my country's protection. I'm gone, Josephine, in my great big C-19. Fare thee well, don't you cry. Bye-bye.
Every day, as the war against Japan increases in intensity, the need for waste fats and greases grows more critical. Here's one department where the enemy may be superior unless you help make up the difference from your kitchens. Save all waste fats and greases, no matter how discolored. Keep a clean can in which to strain them and take them regularly to your butcher. Remember, for every pound, he'll give you 4 cents plus 2 extra meat points.
Dear Hitler, I wrote you a letter, and I used the new address you said. But Moscow returned it this morning with a word written on it in red. It's a word I've been hearing quite often, and I know just how much it hurt. You heard it yourself from the British. Dear Adolf, that word was nerd. I'm writing again for a favor, although I feel sure it's no use. But now that Japan is your fall guy, dear Adolfo, please turn me loose. I'm longing so much for the old days when they greeted me with bravos. And I like the old salute better without their thumb to their nose. Your Gestapo you sent here to help me don't know what a big shot I am. Please tell them their Bronx cheers annoy me, and I don't like the way they say scram. The last speech I made to my people, I outlined your Russian idea. And instead of the cheers I expected, I heard someone snicker, oh yeah. Last night I dreamed I saw Stalin, and here's a suggestion he made. Better tell your dear old friend Adolf to brush up on his wallpaper trade. And the next time that you see Max Schmeling, here's something that he ought to know. The Yankees have got a new weapon that's known as Brown Bomber Joe. Well, Adolf, I better be closing. So Heil Hitler, Heil Hitler, Heil. And please don't forget that old promise that you'd give me the whole British Isle. P.S. Don't think I'm complaining, but my wardrobe is looking quite sad. Can you spare me an old suit of Gehring? Maybe it won't smell too bad. Dear Moose, the letter you wrote me is the first laugh I've had in a year. I read it to my old friend Gehring, and he darn near choked on his beer. It's hard for me to be writing. I've still got a very bad cold. I lost my shirt west of Moscow. That's quite a big town, I'm told. I'll bet I've got Stalin all worried, 'cause he don't know where I am. He's hunting me all over Russia, and here I am back in Berlin. I notice that you are complaining. You're getting so many Bronx cheers. Don't blame this on my Gestapo. You've had it coming for years. I recall your brave war declaration after France was laid on the shelf. That's when the Bronx cheer started. I gave you a big one myself. Then I recall how you boasted you'd give little Greece a smack. And there you got caught with your neck out, and you got your red ears pinned back. The lack of parades must hurt you, for I know how you love to strut. And I'm sorry your wardrobe is shabby, but we've all had to take a big cut. However, I'm sending some leather, and with it I give you this toast. Reinforce the seat of your britches. That's where you need it the most. My promise to give you Great Britain is a promise I'll never forget. I've sent Rudolph Hess to get it, but I haven't heard from him yet. P.S. I'm sorry, old Muffy, you didn't turn out so hot. But you may be sure I'll release you just as soon as I've grabbed all you've got. Dear Hitler, I'm writing this letter, hoping you'll get it somewhere. I used to address you in Berlin, but now there's no post office there. I'm anxious to know how you're doing, and will it be much longer yet till you send the help that you promised? 'Cause I'm gonna need all I can get. Your great intuition should tell you we'd better do something darn quick. I think I hear ancestors laughing. Oh, Adolf, I really am sick. You told me the Yankees were lazy and all too complacent to fight. You told me to strike at Pearl Harbor and we'd rule the world overnight. But Yankees are very queer people and we don't know just what to do. My soldiers call out, "Yanks, surrender!" And they yell right back, "Nerds to you!" There's one other problem that irks me. It's known as the B-29. And what do they mean by the eight ball? They say they have got us behind. Please pardon me asking these questions, but I can't help wondering now, if you stayed too long in that beer hall and miscalculated somehow. You promised we'd meet in the White House, and oh, how I dreamed of that hour. But the Yanks had their own secret weapon. They called it the Ike Eisenhower. If I had just 30 years longer, I think I could whip Chiang Kai-shek. But this man MacArthur annoys me. Can't you take him off of my neck? P.S. As you gaze in your crystal to learn what the future will be, when Joe Stalin's face comes before you, find out how he feels about me. I just got your note, Hirohito. It reached me where I'm holing in. I don't have a Berlin post office. In fact, there just ain't no Berlin. My keen intuition assures me the great super race will survive. But please note this letter was written on April Fool's Day, 45. So if I should suffer reverses, and frankly I look for the worst, I'll hike to my fort in the mountains if Himmler don't bump me off first. There once was a time when I figured that I might hide out in Japan. But recently I have concluded I'm much better off where I am. You're just like that guy Mussolini. You told me you really were tough, And then you start squawking your head off. As soon as the going gets rough, why don't you review your great Navy? 'Twill boost your morale, I am sure. Just borrow a suit from a diver, and you should have an interesting tour. I notice you mention the White House, and that darn near tore me in half. Too bad I can't find Herman Goering, 'cause he really needs a good laugh. For many long years you've been itching to bring the Yanks down to their knees. You say you hear ancestors laughing, but I think you hear the Chinese. That white horse that you ride so proudly, you better teach him how to race. You'll make a swell lady Godiva, 'cause you're gonna lose more than your face. P.S. I've cut off my mustache, so Stalin won't know who is who. I wish I could have my face lifted, but I fear they might lift my neck too.
When the Führer says, he is the master race, be Heil, Heil, right in the Führer's face. Not to laugh, the Führer is a great disgrace, so be Heil, Heil, right in the Führer's face. When Herr Goebbels says, we own the world in space, be Heil, Heil, right in Herr Goebbels face. When Herr Goering says, they'll never bomb this place, be Heil, Heil, right in Herr Goering's face. Are we not the Superman? Are you pure Superman?
Yeah, we are the Superman.
Super duper Superman.
Is this Nazi land so good? Would you leave it if you could?
Yeah, this Nazi land is good. We would leave it if we could.
We bring the world new order. I'll Hitler's world new order. Everyone a foreign race, we love the pure space. When we bring to the world disorder. When the Führer says, he is the master race, be Heil, Heil, right in the Führer's face. Not to love the Führer is a great disgrace, so be Heil, Heil, right in the Führer's face.
Gunfire going on all around us. Now we are now inside the screen of warships. There's no more warships between us and the beach. We look out to the stern of us now, and there are hundreds of craft flying out there. But between us and the beach, nothing except a few amphibious craft that are on the beach destroyed their tanks. They're still beached in there. As the water's being churned up quite a bit in between us and the beach now with the bursting of these shells. It looks like a tank burning in there on the shore. Looking through our glasses now, we're just a couple of hundred yards off the beach. We can see these anthrax pull up along the beach and dozens of Marines around each one of them.
You can see those terraces now. Stretched along on the seaside of those terraces for the cover they offer is a line of Marines taking protection from those covers. There must be a group of Marines that just recently landed. You can see lots of fresh material over there on the beach. And you can no doubt hear the bursting of these ships. Bursting all around it. Tojo isn't going to get much use out of this island from here on in. Get a better look at that little fire we saw on the beach. It is indeed a jeep that has been hit and burning.
See, we're going to hit the beach in just a couple of seconds. So we're going to be quiet and brace ourselves for the shot. And now we've hit the beach. Just simultaneously with that shell burst that you heard, we hit the beach.
Another plane's come
over. Get it, boys.
Another one coming over. That includes the right one.
It's right
over.
There we go.
They got one.
We got that one. It's
right here.
Did we?
Yeah.
What's
your line?
Just off our port side in the sea.
The lights of that burning Nazi plane are just twinkling now in the sea and going out.
People of Western Europe, a landing was made this morning on the coast of France by troops of the Allied Expeditionary Force. This landing is part of the concerted United Nations plan for the liberation of Europe, made in conjunction with our great Russian allies.
My fellow Americans, last night when I spoke with you about the fall of Rome, I knew at that moment that troops of the United States and our allies were crossing the channel in another and greater operation. It has come to pass with success thus far. And so, in this poignant hour, I ask you to join with me in prayer. Almighty God, our sons, pride of our nation, this day have set upon a mighty endeavor, a struggle to preserve our republic, our religion, and our civilization, and to set free a suffering humanity. Lead them straight and true. Give strength to their arms, stoutness to their heart, steadfastness in their faith. They will need thy blessings. They will be sore tried by night and by day, without rest, until the victory is won. The darkness will be rent by noise and flame. Men's souls will be shaken with the violences of war. For these men are lately drawn from the ways of peace. They fight not for the lust of conquest. They fight to end conquest. They fight to liberate. They fight to let justice arise and tolerance and goodwill among all thy people. They yearn but for the end of battle, for their return to the haven of home. Some will never return. Embrace these, Father, and receive them, thy heroic servants, into thy kingdom. And for us at home, fathers, mothers, children, wives, sisters, and brothers of brave men overseas, whose thoughts and prayers are ever with them, help us, Almighty God, to rededicate ourselves in renewed faith in thee in this hour of great sacrifice. And let our hearts be stout to wait out the long travel. to bear sorrows that may come, to impart our courage unto our sons, wheresoever they may be.
Day long, where the rain or shine, she's the part of the assembly line. She's making history, working for victory, rolling. The riveter keeps the shop look up, the sandwich down, sitting up there on the fuselage. That little present do more than a mess and do loading. The riveter, Rose has got a boyfriend, Charlie. Charlie, he's the marine. Rosie is protecting Charlie, working overtime on the riveting machine. When they gave her a production lead, she was as proud as a girl could be. There's something true about red, white, and blue about rolling. The riveter.
This program to bring you a special news bulletin from CBS World News. A press association has just announced that President Roosevelt is dead. The president died of a cerebral hemorrhage. All we know so far is that the president died at Warm Springs in Georgia.
Good afternoon, everybody. The President of the United States died at 3:35 p.m. this afternoon in the Warm Springs environment that he loved so much.
The drums are wrapped in black crepe and are muffled, as you can hear. And the pace of the musicians is so slow. And behind them, these are Navy boys. And now just coming past the treasury, I can see the horses drawing the caisson. And most generally, folks having as tough a time as I am trying to see it. And behind us is the car bearing the men on whose shoulders now falls the terrific burdens and responsibilities that were handled so well by the men to whose body we're paying our last respects now. God bless him, President Truman. We return you now to the studio.
Almighty God has seen fit to take from us a great man who loved and was beloved by all humanity. No man could possibly fill the tremendous void left by the passing of that noble soul. No words can ease the aching hearts of untold millions
of every race, creed, and color. The world knows it has lost a heroic champion of justice and freedom. Tragic fate has thrust upon us grave responsibility. We must carry on. Our departed leader never looked backward. He looked forward and moved forward. That is what he would want us to do. That is what America will do. With great humility, I call upon all Americans to help me keep our nation united in defense of those ideals which have been so eloquently proclaimed by Franklin Roosevelt.
Man, stop that war! Them cats are killing themselves! Put away the guns. Put the bombs on the shelf. Stop this war. The cats are killing themselves. Boy, they're shooting them up and they're shooting them live. They even got wigs and shooting them blind. A big bomb hit a boat out in the sea. The sailors jumped up, hollered, "What you doing to me?" Ground, them cats have got to go. Boy, that sounds like one of them incendiarium bombs.
Where'd you get that word, Wiggy?
Boy, I dug it out the dugout.
General Yodel walked straight to his place at the center of the table, threw his cap on the table, and sat down without a gesture or a word to anyone. And then the others sat down. A few quiet words from General Smith, and the sheaf of documents were laid in front of Yodel. He was handed a pen. He was told to sign. He signed. After General Yodel had signed the surrender document, it was signed by General Smith for the Western Allies, by General Kraslopperov for Russia, and by General Sevres for the French. And it was done, all in 4 minutes. A war that lasted almost 6 years was ended just like that, in 4 minutes.
The German war is at an end. We may allow ourselves a brief period of rejoicing. But let us not forget for a moment the toils and efforts that lie ahead. Japan, with all her treachery and greed, remains unsubdued. The injuries she has inflicted upon Great Britain, the United States, and other countries, and her detestable cruelties, call for justice and retribution.
The White House has just made an important announcement on the war. And to bring you this story, we interrupt our program, take you to the NBC newsroom in Washington.
This is Ralph Howard Peterson in Washington. I have just returned from the White House, where it has just been announced that the United States is now using an atomic bomb, the most powerful explosive yet developed.
The world will note that the first atomic bomb was dropped on Hiroshima, a military base. We won the race of discovery against the Germans. We have used it in order to shorten the agony of war in order to save the lives of thousands and thousands of young Americans. We shall continue to use it until we completely destroy Japan's power to make war.
7 p.m. Eastern Wartime, Bob Trout reporting. The Japanese have accepted our terms fully. This, ladies and gentlemen, is the end of the Second World War. The United Nations are united and are victorious.
Representatives of the major warring powers to conclude a solemn agreement whereby peace may be restored. The issues involving divergent ideals and ideologies have been determined on the battlefields of the world, and hence are not for our discussion or debate. Nor is it for us here to meet, representing, as we do, a majority of the peoples of the earth in a spirit of distrust, malice, or hatred. As Supreme Commander for the Allied Powers, I announce it my firm purpose, in the tradition of the countries I represent, to proceed in the discharge of my responsibilities with justice and tolerance, while taking all necessary dispositions to ensure that the terms of surrender are fully, promptly, and faithfully complied with. Of the Emperor of Japan and the Japanese government and the Japanese Imperial General Headquarters to sign the instrument of surrender at the places indicated.
Let us pray that peace be now restored to the world and that God will preserve it always. These proceedings
Everything is beautiful in its own way, like a starry summer night or a snow-covered winter's day. Everybody's beautiful.
The trip to yesterday is over, and here's today. You're back in one piece, just like before. Or are you? Time to say thank you.
That's all for the That's all for the That's all for the